Real families, real farms, real food. Welcome to Arizona Agriculture Connection with Maricopa County Farm Bureau. My name is Nicole Clements, Executive Director, and I'll be your host. Maricopa County Farm Bureau is the voice of agriculture in a community that thrives on the dichotomy of urban and rural agriculture operations. This podcast is a home for farmers, ranchers, food lovers, prospective agriculturalists, and those looking to connect the food on their plate with the farm that it came from. As we take an inside look at agriculture in Arizona, we will delve into topics like ag technology, policy, food preparation, and everything in between. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform with new episodes every Wednesday. Arizona Agriculture Connection is hosted by Maricopa County Farm Bureau and sponsored by Paloma Ready Mix and Materials, a proud supporter of agriculture and our communities. Be sure to subscribe and share your favorite episodes with your friends. For more interactions, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Maricopa County FB. Now let's discover some Arizona agriculture. Welcome back, Arizona Aggies, to another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. And this week, we're celebrating still Dairy Month, which is the month of June. And so here with me today, I have Lauren Pena, who is with the Dairy Council of Arizona. So welcome, Lauren. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Nicole, for having me.
So why don't we dive in? You know, you're a registered dietitian doing work with the Dairy Council. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you get here? Is your background in agriculture, or how did you wind up here?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my journey is not so much typical for the traditional RD. And RD or RDN stands for Registered Dietitian Nutritionist, or you can use either one, RD or RDN. And so really my journey through nutrition started, as most do, in college. And so I went to school for my undergrad program at the U of A, Bear Down, and I was actually initially pre-med. And I knew I wanted to go into med school to become an eye doctor at the time, which is kind of fun because I forget that that was part of my chapter and part of my story, but it's all part of it. And so I ended up going a different route in the end with nutrition. And I still, at the end of the day, I love that aspect of helping others. And it was similar in the medical field while you're providing care, but now with nutrition. So I still had that love of wanting to help people and heal people. And so that was just a better fit for me to go into nutrition. So that's what I ended up doing. I got my undergrad degree from U of A. And then immediately after that, I did my internship also through U of A. And really, at the end of the day, what better way to care for our bodies and health than with food, right? We all have to eat. It's a necessity. So really leveraging that perspective of what we're putting into our bodies as fuel, and how can we also at the same time combat all of these chronic health issues that we're now dealing with as Americans, as Arizonans, right? So nutrition can help with the preventative side of that, and also to help managing care once you do get into the actual medical diagnosis. So I really love the field, always love food. It's at the center of so many milestone celebrations that I can remember. There's also those community aspects of food, and Beef highlighted that last month with their podcast here. They really talked about that. And so many of those pieces all interwoven with food. And also, let's not forget ag as well. Agriculture goes into producing food, the growing, the raising, the harvesting, all of that. And at the end of the day, too, who doesn't love the taste, right? I mean, that's half the fun of eating food. So that was really kind of how I landed on nutrition. And after I did my internship, took my test to become an RD. And with that, I've been an RD practicing over the past 8 years. I also worked for a food service management company, kind of on the food service side, direct to consumer there. And then after that, I did work for a school district, and I did the menu planning, wrote breakfast, lunch, snack menus, did that for a while. And then I was introduced to the Dairy Council I kind of did some research, and I'm like, are there even dairy cows in Arizona? Because during my internship, I I wasn't exposed to it. And not even in my undergrad program was I exposed to that. So I did some research, found the Dairy Council's website, and then one of our good farmers who was at the time a dairy farmer, Jody Van Ryn, if you know her, such a special dear friend that I have now coming from that memory. And so she brought a calf out to a couple of our schools in our district. And that's really what introduced me to Dairy Council and using them as a resource. And that was just the first exposure I had. So love, love, love my job, love the field of ag. And I'm so excited and blessed to be here.
I always think it's so interesting to hear people's journeys when they come without an agriculture background and how you kind of ended up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're here, realizing how much you love it and love the industry and the people, and it's just such a special place to be, I feel like.
Right, right. And like I said before too, like the traditional RD typically goes and works in a hospital setting too. Very few, or you work for WIC, but not a lot go the path of this. So it's always important for, you know, your listeners to consider too, just because you don't have to just be a farmer, right? You can still be involved in ag in some unique way, depending on what your job is, so.
Absolutely. So kind of leading into that, so the different audiences that you work with here at Dairy Council, like, you know, you're not in the hospital setting, mm-hmm. you're not, you know, working maybe directly with WIC or maybe at school. What is the typical audience and how do you help them in the role that you're in now?
Right. So yeah, very different from what I worked in my internship and then on the school side. So my role here at the Dairy Council is directly more involved with, again, going back to the medical stuff. So with our health professionals. So that includes other dietitians, that includes physicians, nurses, dentists even, oh gosh, just a variety of health professionals there. So it's being that trusted source of science-backed and evidence-based nutrition recommendations that we have here at Dairy, because there's a lot of misinformation about ag in general, but also too behind nutrition and kind of doing some myth-busting, providing them with resources and education to share with their clients and patients, right? Because they are the trusted health professional, and now we're just marrying them with the right information to give to their clients. So that's part of my role. And then also too, I work heavily with our food banks and food pantries in Arizona. Milk is one of the most requested but least donated items. And that in and of itself is huge for awareness. A lot of folks think of food banks, food pantries, you know, I'm going to give my canned food, which is great, but that milk and that dairy provides so many more nutrients as well. And it is perishable too. So that's just a luxury item for a lot of those food banks that they're just not getting. So really working with our food banks, working with our food pantries, how can we get them more dairy? Whether that looks like through grants, through cooler donations, we do funding where we generate money for these places, and then we'll actually provide a match towards that money to go towards milk. So again, just a variety of audiences here, but I think at the end of the day, we do have to be in all these different facets. And then while I'm not directly involved in schools, my counterpart is. So we're reaching all these different touch points so that all of our consumers are aware of dairy and the powerhouse of nutrients it provides.
Awesome. So on that note, you guys currently have an open donation with St. Mary's Food Bank, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yes, yes. So y'all can go on our website, azmilk.org, and it will be on the title page. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see Merrill Kelly, our D-backs pitcher that we have a partnership with this year. You'll click on that link, and then it will take you to a link on the bottom where you can donate directly to St. Mary's. And right now our goal is $2,000. So as a Dairy Council, also going to match dollar for dollar up to $2,000. And then also Fry's is going to match that money too. So huge opportunity to contribute to the nutrition of those in need.
Such an awesome, powerful way to use that partnership collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have that linked on our website as well for you guys to go and find it there too. So diving in kind of to the story of milk, I think one of probably the biggest questions that a lot of people have is there are so many options for quote unquote milk,
yes,
right, at the store. So when you're looking, how do you know which one's right for you, and what is the difference between real dairy milk and other options?
Right. This is a great question. One of the common ones we get. So we have so many options at the grocery store, which we're very thankful for, but it can absolutely get very confusing as a consumer. And even as I talk to our health professionals too, which one do we recommend? A lot of different points are going to come into this. So I would say first to what is your budget that you're looking at? That will help determine what kind of cost point you can look at, because organic is going to be more expensive than conventional. Some of the lactose-free milks are a little bit pricier. So it really depends on your budget first, I would say. And then secondly to, you know, when you're looking at the grocery store aisle, so we just talked about lactose-free, so do you need to have lactose-free milk? Is someone in your family lactose intolerant? If you're self-reporting that, I would say talk to your doctor first. Want to make sure it's lactose intolerance, right? They can do a hydrogen breath test. They can for sure diagnose you with lactose intolerance. So you want to make sure to get that checked out by your doctor, because it could be another gastrointestinal issue entirely. It might not even be that. So once you do get that diagnosis, we have lactose-free milk, which is a great option. And then we also have organic, which I just talked about. And really at the end of the day, organic is just differences in farming practices. It's another choice for consumers. There's certain medicines that dairy cows can and cannot have when they're on an organic farm, a certain number of days they have to be on pasture. So, and also it's more expensive. So if that's important to you as a consumer, that is an option, absolutely. The other points I wanna say too, there's differences also when you're buying milk between skim, 1%, 2%, whole. What does that all mean, right? It's very confusing, I know. And so with those different percentages, it's going to be based on the percentage of fat that's in the milk. And so I think also too, when people hear the word whole, they might assume that it could be 90, 100, like very, very high percent. But that percentage is only 3.25, which is not really as big as I think people think it is when you're looking at whole milk. So right there is just difference in fat percentage, right? It's no matter which choice you're choosing, and this goes along with flavored milk too, whether that be chocolate, strawberry, you name it. There's all kinds of fun flavors out there. But at the end of the day, you're still getting 13 essential nutrients, folks. That's a lot in one glass. So just in those 13 essential nutrients, milk on its own, no matter what choice you're choosing, is going to give you 3 out of 4 of the nutrients of public health concern. And what that means is that us as Americans, we're not getting enough of those in our diet. The only one milk doesn't have is fiber. So it's going to be your calcium, your potassium, and your vitamin D. So that right there is a huge opportunity, and about around 20 cents, 25 cents a glass, depending on milk price fluctuations, you're going to get an amazing bang for your buck with milk. No matter what choice you're choosing, it's all going to have those same 13 essential nutrients in it.
So when we think of a dairy source, milk, I think, obviously is the first option that comes to mind for everybody. But what other options are out there that you can incorporate into, you know, your meal plan to get those essential nutrients, but maybe it doesn't have to be milk?
Right, I know. And that's a lot of times too when I'm talking to consumers, that is one of the, I don't really like milk. Well, do you like yogurt? Oh, yeah, I kind of like. Do you like cheese? Oh, absolutely, I love cheese, right? So there's other ways of getting those nutrients without turning to a glass of milk, right? So we have yogurt, which, amazing product. So what I want to say too with yogurt is you want to make sure to look on that label so that it has what's called live and active cultures. And this is that good gut bacteria that we want to consume so that we have a essentially more diverse microbiome. And without getting too sciencey, because I geek out on this, it's kind of just like what we also say in the nutrition field, like eating the rainbow, right? Eating different colors. So along with that, your gut microbiome is very similar to that. So you want variety, and you want to look for fermented foods, with yogurt being one of them, because it's got those good gut bacteria in it. So typically on the label, you'll see live and active cultures. It'll have a variety of them in italics. They're usually really hard to pronounce and long and complicated. But once you see those live and active cultures on your yogurt, that's huge, because you're getting those probiotics in there as well. Also too, with cheese, the great point about cheese, it's so versatile, right? You can add cheese pretty much to any dish that you make in a recipe. There's also a lot of variety with cheese, mozzarella, ricotta, Parmesan. There's so many options out there. And also too, to note with cheese, is that if you do have lactose intolerance, a lot of folks don't know this, but it's lower in lactose. I mean, it's around like usually less than 1 gram. Obviously, it depends on what your serving size is too. Like if you're bulking up, eating a lot of cheese, like kind of pace yourself a little bit there. But the great part about that is it's going to be lower in lactose. So it shouldn't upset your tummy if you do have those issues with processing lactose. So also opportunities there for getting your dairy.
Awesome. I know kind of cottage cheese is having its moment, its heyday on the internet. I think some people are kind of getting past the point, maybe a little sick of the cottage cheese trends, but I, for one, am not one of those people. I grew up eating cottage cheese and I absolutely love it. And I think there's a lot of really good ways to incorporate some of these dairy products and get those nutrition benefits into recipes in ways that you might not have thought of, along with a great helping of Parmesan cheese. If I'm making like pasta in a red sauce, I can blend up some cottage cheese and add that to the sauce, and now you're just getting that extra protein, extra nutrients, and it tastes fantastic. And if you don't like cottage cheese, don't worry, it doesn't taste like cottage cheese.
Yeah, you can kind of blend it in, you can kind of sneak it in. I know, and I feel like plain Greek yogurt's also like that too. It can just mask all of those other flavors, so you're not knowing that you're eating Greek yogurt.
I feel like we go through like tubs of Greek yogurt a week at our house. Like, it's so versatile.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely is on our rotation for us. So we talked a little bit about kind of price points on the different types of milk and dairy products, like organic and lactose free. So what kind of are better options for those that are watching that grocery budget, you know, as we all kind of are right now, watching those prices climb and climb? So what are some of the best budget dairy options out there so you can continue getting those nutrients?
Right. And I love this question because it's just so applicable now with inflation and, you know, our grocery bills going up all the time. And so, yes, I appreciate this question. For me, I would say the easiest way to save costs is going to be opting for those generic brands versus something with a name brand. So that could be whatever grocer you use, just their brand of whatever that product is. And that's true for not just food, but that can be for anything that you buy at the grocery store, right? So that's one quick way. Another way too is, you know, we just alluded to Greek yogurt, you know, buying that in tubs versus individual containers. While it is a few extra steps to kind of prep that yogurt into the serving size you want, I like to use glass mason jars. Are super fun, and then you can just add fruit right on the top. So that's an easy way to incorporate. Also too, if you're doing smoothies, you know, you can do a big tub and then just portion out what you want to use. Block cheese as well versus that shredded cheese that you can buy bagged. That's, again, extra work, but also the nice thing too with that is it'll be less process if you just shred it yourself and then you can bag it up. And if it's too much of a workout, you can always get someone else in your household that wants to burn some extra calories. I just tell my husband, come over here, I've got a job for you, you can work out your hands a little bit.
So when we talk about, you know, people being really budget conscious for their groceries, a lot of times, you know, we're looking at parents and those trying to feed, you know, a whole household full of mouths. But why is it important to kind of focus on that nutrition aspect when you are feeding our little ones at home? I've heard that it is more beneficial for children to ensure they're getting their nutrients, right? Mm-hmm. That's got to be the priority. So what is it about dairy that makes it such a priority for those growing children?
And I love this question too, because there's just so many families out there. Again, it's hard to afford to eat healthy. A lot of folks think that, but when you go back to just whole ingredients and just that little extra step for prep is huge in nutrition. And so I think with dairy being in the mix of this question, you know, I talked about earlier, milk has the 13 essential nutrients, right? And so one of those nutrients, especially for pregnant and breastfeeding moms and for kiddos under the age of 2, milk in particular has that iodine in it. And that is huge for cognitive development for these young kiddos. And even when you're pregnant and breastfeeding, getting that milk so that you're capitalizing on that iodine that's in it as your baby is growing and before they end up being a kid that you take care of out of the womb, really capitalizing on milk's iodine is huge. And not only that too, we're finding that the American Academy of Pediatrics, the National Dairy Council, a variety of other organizations too, all recommend whole milk as being the beverage to serve kiddos under 2. Obviously, breastfeeding first, but then when they're able to start drinking milk, so that would be 1 year old, so from 1 to 2, capitalizing on whole milk because it's got that extra fat, you know, that 3.25% fat I alluded to earlier, that good fat that's going to help build their brain development again, just like iodine is. So capitalizing on that is huge. Also, what we're finding too, we're very excited on the national level. We have a collaboration with the Mayo Clinic that we're looking forward to seeing that research coming out in the next few years that'll talk about whole milk and how it's related to our cardiac, so our heart health, and also just our metabolic health in general. We're finding that this research that's being done is either a neutral effect or even more beneficial versus having those lower fat percentages of milk. So we're going to see some really exciting research in the next couple years come out with our collaboration with Mayo Clinic.
That's extremely exciting. And I think, you know, for a long time, especially in the 90s, early 2000s, it was all, you know, low fat everything. But I think, is it Gordon Ramsay that said, where there's fat, there's flavor?
Yes.
And so not only is it beneficial, you know, for you, but it's also extremely well tasting.
Yes, yes. And I do want to piggyback off on that too, where, you know, I feel like the flavored milks get a really bad rap. And it's unfortunate too, because especially on the school side, and I can speak to this as well, but you have these kiddos drinking, you know, plain is always an option. It has to be an option on the menu, but then offering flavored milk. So whether that be chocolate, strawberry, birthday cake, there's a whole variety of flavors you can offer. At the end of the day, though, what I like to circle back to is that they all have those 13 essential nutrients. Yes, there is extra sugar. We're aware of that, yes. But it's at the end of the day, if that kiddo is not drinking chocolate milk, are they drinking milk at all? You know, the 3 of 4 nutrients, public health concern they're not getting. That high quality protein too, that's something we didn't really talk about, but milk has all those essential amino acids that your body needs that it can't produce on its own. And so that's also important for muscle recovery too. You know, a lot of the gym bros love their milk, which is great. It's got that perfect ratio of carbohydrates to protein. Again, I don't want to dive too much into the science because I just geek out and I get excited about it. But at the end of the day, too, I think presenting your child with options is huge. Don't have it be like black and white. You know, give them options and also to variety as well. We talked about the versatility of cheese, right? So maybe they're not a fan of just eating string cheese, or maybe they love string cheese. Maybe they need it in a recipe cooked. Maybe to encourage them to eat their vegetables, you smother broccoli with a cheese sauce. You know, maybe you're doing some sort of ranch dip that has Greek yogurt in it, you know, finding those different ways of exposing your kiddo to different foods. You know, they have to have exposure up to, oh gosh, anywhere from like 8 to over 10 times before they accept a food. You know, and our taste buds also change over time too. So again, really just thinking about all these different ways you can incorporate food. And at the end of the day too, we don't eat nutrients, we're eating foods, right? So you're not just eating an ingredient, you're eating it as part of a recipe, right? So how can you capitalize, build it, make it more nutrient dense? The other thing I want to say too is that there are a lot of sometimes foods we can enjoy in our diet too. I like to say all foods fit, nothing is taboo or off limits. You know, make sure that, you know, maybe if you're not feeding them chocolate milk, maybe to have that be, you know, to help, and you're watching their sugar in their diet, give them that chocolate milk as, you know, a treat or however you want to incorporate it, right? So yeah, that's all I want to say about flavored milk, but I kind of went off on a tangent there, but I just get so passionate about it. I just love nutrition.
So what are some of your favorite, like, easy swaps for recipes? So we talked about incorporating them in different ways. So what are some of, like, your favorite easy swaps that you can make in, like, common recipes that maybe we're all making at home?
Right, right. I love this question, too. I would say, for me, common swaps. I think really it's, yeah, I kind of already alluded to it earlier, but just adding Greek yogurt into sauces, I love just adding that as a base because it's still going to give you that creamy texture, but then you're capitalizing on the probiotics and that protein at the same time. So I would say swapping that out maybe for like a heavy based cream, just so that it's getting a little bit more nutrient dense. I would even say too, when you're cooking like scrambled eggs, like adding a little bit of milk in there is huge. That'll make your eggs super fluffy, and then you're also getting all those nutrients of milk. So there's just some easy swaps you can do. But I love getting super creative and making mistakes too, you know, like finding out, oh, that wasn't the best thing, and then let me trying it. There was one recipe I tried. It was on Instagram, and it was using pizza crust. And it was a recipe for pizza crust, but it was using Greek yogurt. And I made it once, and it turned out fantastic. But then I tried to replicate it again, and I couldn't get it right. So sometimes it's a little bit about making mistakes, and it's all part of the cooking journey. It doesn't have to look perfect. It can be a little messy, especially when you're involving your kiddos, right? There's some pretty wild aftermaths when cooking with kids, and you know, you can get some good pictures on that. But at the end of the day, it's totally fine to make mistakes, but I still want to perfect that pizza dough. It's still bugging me. I really want to get back in there and try it again, but really love being creative in the kitchen.
I think as kind of a self-taught home chef, it is about making the mistakes and finding mm-hmm. what works and what doesn't. And I think it's the same, you know, with those swaps. Like maybe you try Greek yogurt and something that didn't turn out or you didn't
right.
like it. And, you know, you move on and you can try something else. And I think these days it's a lot easier to kind of get that inspiration and get those ideas. You know, every social media is such a powerful tool for research purposes. You know, I find a lot of recipes on Instagram and TikTok and other places that I like to try. And it's just a great opportunity. And, you know, dairy and beef and all of these kind of essential things that we're providing here in agriculture, it's not just for the gym bros, you know.
Right.
Protein's not just essential for people who are out lifting, you know, every day. A lot of these nutrients are essential for all of us every day, no matter what. And I think having that kind of access to that information and education is so critical.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I have one last fun question. So what is your absolute favorite go-to recipe?
Oh, my favorite dairy recipe? Okay, so I perfected my shredded chicken stuffed shells. And so I love this recipe because I'm using, I think I used 3 different types of cheese in it. And so this is something I actually started this right when I started my nutrition career. I made this recipe in college in my undergrad days. And I've made it with manicotti noodles. I've made it with shells. So again, this is going back to getting creative in the kitchen, right? Maybe your grocery store doesn't have those certain pastas you wanted to make that time. So how do you adapt? How do you get creative? So that recipe is one near and dear to my heart. I also made it for my husband when we were first dating, and it's just such a special treat. I get to make that for him whenever he's craving it. And so it uses Parmesan, ricotta cheese, and then also the classic mozzarella all over it. It's just amazing. And then you can freeze it too, so you eat it more than once. So who doesn't like leftovers? We love leftovers in our house. So that's one of my all-time favorite dairy recipes.
Well, you had me at three different kinds of cheese.
Right?
So
yeah, reeled you in right away.
Well, I want to thank you, Lauren, so much for being with us today. It was great to learn about all things dairy nutrition. And so I would say let's finish off Dairy Month and celebrate with maybe your favorite dairy recipe, or grab an ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
And let's enjoy these warmer temperatures.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. Catch us next week for the latest updates on the AgriPort.
Thank you for tuning in today. And remember, Farm Bureau has a place for you. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your friends on socials. You can also visit our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org, for more information and to submit a topic you want to learn about. Remember to tune in every Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. A huge thank you to Paloma Ready Mix and Materials for supporting our agriculture producers and this podcast. Maricopa County Farm Bureau, bringing you the stories of real families, real farms, and real food. I'm Nicole Clements, signing off. Catch you next week.